And now, Don Blackwell.
Several years ago, a friend and I had gone to study with a couple of gentlemen that I believe were Jehovah's Witnesses. And we had gone through a number of passages in the Scripture, and finally, these two men said to us, they said, "Look, we hear you, but we know that we are saved because of a feeling in our heart, because of a feeling inside of us." When I was in the Air Force, my boss at the time was an Air Force Master Sergeant. He called me into his office one day. He was a Baptist. He was a fervent and an active Baptist. And he said to me, "Airman Blackwell, do you know that you're saved?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." And he said, "How do you know that?" And I said, "I know it because I have done the things that the Bible requires of me." And he said, "I know it because I feel it." He said, "I know it because the Holy Spirit is inside of me and moves within me and makes me know it." Recently, my brother in Christ, as well as my fleshly brother, Cletus, he and I were studying together with some Mormons. And we sat around the table and we talked to them about the all-sufficiency of the Bible. And we talked to them about the warnings in the Scripture, about altering the Word of God. And we talked about the church and about the kingdom. And we asked them, in light of these things, in light of these truths that we have shown you tonight, how can you answer this? How can you feel good about your salvation? And one of them said, he said, "I am confident about my eternal salvation," he said, "because I feel it." He said, "The Holy Spirit has given me a feeling that makes me know that I am right." I could give you lots of examples of this, but it is extremely common in the world today to hear people say things like this. And millions of people are basing their eternity and betting their eternity on a feeling in their heart. What do you say to that? How do you answer that? Now, that's what I want to talk about for the next several minutes this evening. There are 4 points that I want to cover tonight. Number one, I want to talk about the problems with this philosophy. Number two, I want to answer the question, why do people always say that? Number three, how may we really know that we're saved? And then number four, what do you do about it? How do you help people who are relying merely on their feelings? Here's point number one tonight. I want to talk about the problems with this philosophy. Now, there are a lot of problems with the philosophy of relying upon a feeling. Here's the first point. Here's the first problem with this philosophy, and it's this. Feelings do not provide a consistent standard. Feelings do not provide a consistent standard. You see, the problem with feelings is that they vary from person to person. Now, I just mentioned a minute ago a number of different examples of people from different faiths who all said that they had an experience that they believed confirmed that they were right. They were all from different beliefs. And some of them believed the others were wrong, but all of them had a feeling that confirmed that they were right. And I have no doubt that if you would get together a Baptist and a Methodist and a Catholic and a Presbyterian and a Mormon and you set them all around, they would all tell you that they have feelings in their heart that they believe confirms that they are saved. And so whose feeling are you going to go with? You see, the problem with feelings is that they don't provide a consistent standard. In the book of Judges, chapter 17 and verse 6, one of the darkest times in the history of ancient Israel. The Bible says this, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right." You know what it says? In his own eyes. They had no consistent standard. And as a result, there was utter chaos. It's the first thing I want you to remember. The problem with this philosophy, number one, is that it doesn't provide a consistent standard. Number two, a second problem with this philosophy is this. Feelings are only as good as the information upon which they are based. Feelings are only as good as the information upon which they are based. Now let me illustrate this. In Genesis chapter 37, you remember the story of Joseph and his brothers and how his brothers were jealous and envious and they sold him into slavery. And then they took that coat of many colors. You know the story we like to tell to our children about Joseph's coat of many colors. They dipped the coat in blood and they took it back to their father Jacob. And they said to their father, "Dad, we found this coat. And we're not sure whether it's Joseph's coat or not." Of course, they were lying about that. They were sure. But they said, "We don't know. Maybe this is Joseph's coat." Now listen what Genesis 37:33 says. It says, "And he recognized it and he said, 'It is my son's coat. A wild beast has devoured him. Without a doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces.' And then Jacob tore his clothes. He put sackcloth on his waist and he mourned for his son for many days. I want you to listen to this. Because based upon the information that he received, he got a feeling inside. He had a feeling in his heart. The feeling was that he was torn up. His heart was heavy. He mourns for many days. He is deeply upset about this. Now listen to this. When you get to Genesis chapter 45, many years have passed. And Joseph is a bigwig in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Well, Joseph's brothers learn about it. And you remember the story how all of this came to pass. I'm not going to rehearse all of it. But you remember his brothers came to learn of this. And in Genesis 45:26, they went back to their father Jacob and they told him, Joseph is still alive. And he is the governor in the land of Egypt. Listen to what the Bible says. And Jacob's heart stood still. His heart stood still. He had a feeling in his heart. And it says, because he did not believe them. But when they told them all the words which Jacob had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Now what happened? In the beginning he received some information that said Joseph was dead, and so he mourned and he grieved and his heart was upset. He had a feeling in his heart. Then he received some information that Joseph was alive, and it says his heart revived. He had a different feeling in his heart. Now what's the point? The point is the feeling changed based upon the information. The feeling is only as good as the information upon which it is based. Now the point is this. Bad information or incorrect information will produce wrong feelings. If someone were told that in order to be saved, all they had to do was believe, and they did that, then they would have a good feeling. If someone else was told, all you've got to do to be saved is to become a Mormon, and they become a Mormon, then they would have a good feeling. But you see, the feeling is only as good as the information they received. Number one, problems with this philosophy, there's no consistent standard. Number two, the problem with this philosophy is it's only as good as the information upon which it's based. Number three, a problem with this philosophy is the Bible just blatantly says that feelings are not reliable. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says this, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. We're talking about feelings here. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now the Lord says it might feel right. It might seem like it's the right thing to do, but that's not the proper standard. And if I let that be my standard in religion, I'm going to be in trouble. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, the heart, now listen to this, we're talking about people who say, I have a feeling in my heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Now think about that. The heart is deceitful above all things. Now what about that to a person who says, I'm just going to follow my heart? Where's he going to end up? When you hear someone say, I've got a feeling in my heart, this is what my heart tells me. Take them to Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 and ask them about that. You remember Acts 23 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul followed his feelings. He followed his internal feelings, and he said the whole time he did it, he lived in good conscience. All the while he was persecuting Christians, he was killing God's people, and yet he said, I lived in good conscience. He had a good feeling in his heart while he did it. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, we've already cited several times in this meeting, a scene from the Day of Judgment. And the Lord says on that day that many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons and in your name done many wonderful works? Now what I want you to get is this. This is a scene from the judgment day, and yet the Lord says there are going to be many people who will be lost, but they were confident that they're right. These are people who are confident. But according to verse 21, the problem is they had not conformed to the standard. They hadn't conformed to the standard, but in their heart they felt like they were right. Now here's the question. Verse 23 says this. The Lord says, and then I will declare unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye who work iniquity. Now here's the question. Why weren't they conforming to the standard? If the feeling inside of them is enough, people think the feeling is enough. If the feeling inside of them is enough, then why were they lost? The answer is, the feeling inside of them is not enough. It's not enough. That's not the standard. When somebody says, I know that I'm saved because I feel it in my heart, ask them about Matthew 7, 21 and 23. 21 through 23. These people who felt that they were saved, ask them about Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Number one, there are problems with this philosophy when people say, I've got a feeling in my heart. Here's number two. Why do people always say that? Why do people say, I've got a feeling in my heart? Now, we could give a lot of reasons. I want to give a couple here. Number one, I think people say it because it's easy. It's easy. It doesn't require a change in me. Because no matter what someone might show me in the Bible, it is always trumped by my feelings. And so if I am pleased to live in a particular religion, or I'm pleased to live in a particular lifestyle, and someone comes along and shows me some scripture that says that it's wrong, if I believe that my feelings are all that really matters, then I don't have to make a change. Because I can say, well, in my heart, I feel like I don't have to do that. As my brother and I were studying with these Mormons recently, one of the young men grew up in Utah, which is the home of Mormonism. His parents were Mormons. He had practiced this his whole life. He was engaged to a young lady who was also a Mormon. I want you to think about the implications of this, because if he accepted the truth as we taught it to him, he would be turning against his family. He would be turning against his heritage. He might have been withdrawn from or disfellowshipped by the Mormon church, would have probably lost his potential mate in so doing. And so for him to simply say, I feel it in my heart, was the easier thing to do rather than to accept the truth. And even though he was absolutely at a loss to answer the material that we presented to him, he simply said, I have prayed about it and I feel like I'm right. Why do people say it? Because it's the easier way to go. It's the easy route. You know, in Acts 17 and verse 11, we read about the Bereans. The Bible says that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now, I want you to think about that, because even though the Bereans were being taught by the Apostle Paul himself, they went back to the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, and they looked it up to see whether or not these things were so. What if the text had said this? What if the text had said that they accepted or rejected the message based on their feelings? What if it said the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind because they had a feeling in their heart? What if it had said that? Have you ever wondered why it doesn't say that? It doesn't say that. Their feeling is not brought up. What they were commended for, what they were noble for, why God counted them noble, is because they didn't depend on their feelings. They went to the standard of the Scriptures. And because they investigated the Scriptures, they're noble. I want to tell you this. Why is it that people say this? I've got a feeling in my heart. Number one, they say it because it's easy. Number two, people say it because they can't answer the truth. I heard Brother Thomas Warren tell on one occasion. If you ever knew Brother Thomas Warren, you know he was a very educated man. He had a PhD in philosophy. And he, in all the years of going to school, he spent some time in denominational schooling, perhaps even a denominational seminary. And he said on one occasion, he went into a professor's office. This was a professor at this denominational school, and Brother Warren said he knocked on this man's door and he said, can I talk to you? And this professor said, sure, come in. And Brother Warren said he asked him a question. He said, sir, you are a Greek scholar. You're a Greek scholar. In light of that, you know that in Mark 16, 15, and 16, you know that both in the English and in the Greek, the Bible demands that a man believe and be baptized before he can be saved. You know that the Greek language demands it. It's laid out that way. In light of that, how can you teach this denominational plan of salvation that you teach? And he said that the man put his hand over his heart and said, since the day I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, I have known I was saved. That's no answer at all. He didn't answer anything. What he said just totally ignored Mark 16, 16. My brother and I asked these Mormons recently, we said, in light of these verses that we have just showed you, how can you possibly be right? He responded by saying, well, I feel it in my heart. And sometimes that's what people do when they can't answer the truth. They simply say, well, I just feel it. Why do people say this? Because it's the easy route. Sometimes they say it because they can't answer the truth. A third reason that sometimes people say this is because they have a misunderstanding of the Scripture. Maybe they have been the victim of some misteaching. Now, as we were studying with these Mormons, I said to these two young Mormon elders, as they considered themselves, I said, there is no example in all of the Scriptures of this experience that you were talking about. He said, I feel it in my heart. I said, you can search the New Testament, and there is not one example of the Lord confirming a person is saved by giving them a feeling in their heart. And he kind of smiled a little bit, and he began to turn in the pages of his Bible. And he turned over to Luke chapter 24. And he said, on the road to Emmaus, the two disciples walked with Jesus. And he said, verse 32 says, "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us as we walked with him by the way?" And he said, there's an example of it. There's an example of it. And I said, "Sir, that is not an example of it." And if you will look at the context, you'll see that it's not. Because if you will look at the context of Luke chapter 24 and you'll back up a few verses, this is what the text actually says. It says, "In beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, Jesus expounded unto them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself." And verse 31 says, "And their eyes were opened." What opened their eyes? Him expounding it through the scriptures. And then verse 32 says, "They said unto one another, did not our heart burn within us while we walked by the road?" And while, this is what it says, "and while he opened the scriptures unto us." Ladies and gentlemen, the burning in their heart was a reaction to the message. They got it. They understood it. As Jesus began to explain it from the Old Testament, a light came on for them. And they said, "Ah, we see." And their heart burned within them. Why? That wasn't a confirmation of salvation. It wasn't anything like that. It was a light that went on as a reaction to the Word. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, as that first gospel sermon was taught, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now they had not even heard yet what to do, but their hearts had been touched. That is, they were moved emotionally when they heard the message. It's the same thing that happened in Luke chapter 24. They heard the message and they were moved emotionally. The feeling had nothing to do with the miraculous confirmation from God. It had to do with the person hearing the truth and having their heart pricked. In Acts 7 and verse 54, when those people heard the message, the text says that they were cut to the heart. Now again, they reacted to the message. It touched their hearts. But they didn't like the message they heard. In Acts chapter 7, they rejected it. In fact, killed the preacher. But the pattern in the New Testament is that it is the message that convicts men, not a feeling. There is no example in the Bible of a person ever being told that he could know that he is saved because of a feeling in his heart. Why? Because feelings are not reliable. Why? Because feelings are only as good as the information upon which they are based, and because feelings are not a consistent standard. Well, sometimes people like to go to verses like 2 Corinthians 5:5, and they like to talk about the earnest of the Spirit. Listen what that verse says. It says, "Who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." God has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, therefore we are always confident. And they will say, see, that says that the Holy Spirit dwells in you and He makes you confident about your salvation. The Holy Spirit being in you makes you confident that you're saved. But the question is this, how? How does the Holy Spirit dwell in you and how does the Holy Spirit make you confident about your salvation? If you'll read Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:18, you will see that the Bible indicates that we are filled with the Spirit when we are filled with the Word. When I am filled with the Word of God, that's the same thing as being filled with the Spirit. And that makes perfect sense when you read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 that says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And so as I fill myself with the Word, I am filling myself with the Spirit. And that gives me confidence in my salvation. As I learn more of the Word of God, as revealed by the Holy Spirit, I am confident about my salvation. It has to do with the Word of God, not with a feeling. The text does not say that the Spirit gives me a feeling so that I'll know that I'm saved. That's not what 2 Corinthians 5:5 says. Let's go to the third point here. How then may we know that we're saved? If it's not a feeling, if it's not something moving within me, if it's not something stirring in the pit of my stomach, how then do I know that I'm saved? One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible is 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. John writes this, "These things have I written unto you." If you've got a highlighter, you might want to highlight this. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, I'd highlight the words "written" and "know." John said, "I have written to you that you may know that you have eternal life." According to John, the written Word of God lets us know that we have salvation, not a feeling in our heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul says this, "The time of my departure is at hand." He's talking about dying. He said, "I'm going to die soon." He was old. "I'm going to die soon." He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Paul was confident that he had salvation. He was confident that he was going to go to heaven, not because of a feeling in his heart, but because he had done the things written in the Word, because he had kept the faith, because he had fought a good fight, and because he'd finished the course. He had read what the Lord expects of him, and he says, I have done that. And because of that, I've got confidence. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, Christ is referred to as the author of eternal salvation. That's what I want to know. How do I know that I have eternal salvation? Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. How can I know that I'm saved? Obey Him. Do the things that are written in the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul wrote to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. If I want to know how to be saved, I need to look at the Holy Scriptures. They'll make me wise unto salvation. They will let me know if I'm prepared, not a feeling in my heart. If I will hide the Scripture in my heart and do what it says, I can have confidence. I'm going to go to heaven. 1 John 5:13 again, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. All right, one more verse, and I'm going to move on to the next point. Follow me on this, because this one gets a little bit complicated, but listen closely. Romans 8 and verse 16 says this, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, that is, we're saved. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God. That is, we are heirs, that means we're going to receive an inheritance. We're going to go to heaven, in other words. And we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this verse says that the Holy Spirit and my spirit together bear witness of the fact that I'm going to go to heaven. Now, how is that? What does this verse mean? This is what it means. The testimony of the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. And the testimony of my spirit is when I can say I have believed and I have obeyed the Word of God. And so when the Holy Spirit says to do it, and I can say within my spirit that I have done it, then those two together confirm that I have eternal life. Now let me give you an example of this to illustrate what I'm talking about. Mark 16:16, the Holy Spirit says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If my spirit can honestly say, I have done that, I believe and I have been baptized, then I can know that I'm going to be saved. Again, the Spirit says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. If the Holy Spirit said that, and in my spirit I can say, I have done that, I have turned away from my sins, I have repented and I have been baptized, then I can know that I have been saved. As long as I see what the Spirit says, and I know that I have complied with the terms of the Spirit, then the Spirit and my spirit are a testimony together that I have salvation. Now go back to the beginning. I told you that my boss, this master sergeant, called me into his office and he said, Airman Blackwell, do you know that you're saved? And I said, yes. And he said, how do you know it? And I said, because I've read the things that the Bible says and I have done them. And therefore I know that I'm saved. That is the Spirit and my spirit together confirming that I have salvation. He said, do you have boots on? And I said, yes. He said, close your eyes. And I did. He said, do you have boots on? And I said, yes. And he said, how do you know? And I said, because I put them on, and I remember putting them on. And he said, no, you know it because you feel it. You see, that's the basis that many people are basing their salvation. Not upon the Scripture, not upon the written Word that John said, whereby we can know that we're saved. They're basing it on a feeling. And they're going to go to eternity on the day of judgment basing their eternal salvation upon a feeling that's inconsistent with the Word of God. So what do you do about it? How can you help people who are risking their eternity on nothing more than a feeling? I've got to admit to you that it is difficult to help a person in that condition. Why? Because they're not trusting on the Word of God, they're trusting in their feelings. And so what I've got to do is convince them that there is a standard by which they will be judged. Because if there's not a standard, then the Mormon feeling is just as good as the Baptist feeling, is just as good as the Presbyterian feeling. If there's no standard, one religion's feeling is just as good as another. You have got to convince them that on the day of judgment, you will not be judged by a feeling, but rather you will be judged by the Word of God. John 12:48, Jesus said, he that rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now the question you want to ask them is this: what if your feeling is different from what I can show you in the Word of God? What about that? Maybe you're here tonight. What if your feeling is different from what we can show you in the Word of God? And ladies and gentlemen, my experience has always, always, always been when people are relying on a feeling, their feeling always is different from the Word of God. And you know why? Because the Word of God doesn't teach our feelings as a standard. Tonight, our goal is not to pick on anybody. Our goal is not to call people out and humiliate them. Our goal is not to be mean or cruel. Our goal is to show people that if all you have upon which to base your salvation is a feeling in your heart, then you're on shaky ground. Because feelings are not reliable. Feelings vary from person to person. Feelings are only as good as the information upon which they're based. But the Bible, on the other hand, is consistent. It is the same for everybody who reads it. The information that it contains is infallible. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall by no means pass away." Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I have confidence in my salvation, not because of a feeling that's moving within me, but because of the Word of God. I believe tonight that in order to be saved, in fact, I believe that I am saved, because I have heard and I have believed the gospel. Not because of a feeling in my heart, but because Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And I've done that. I believe tonight that I'm saved because I have heard it and I have believed it and I've repented of my sins. Not because of a feeling in my heart, but because Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." I've done that. I believe that I'm saved tonight because I've heard, believed, repented, and confessed the name of Christ. Not because of a feeling in my heart, but because Acts 8:37, the example is set for us to say, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." I believe I'm saved tonight, not because of a feeling in my heart, but because I've been baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins. Again, not because of a feeling, but because the Bible says, "The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us." Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God, 1 Peter 3:20 and 21. Tonight, I believe I'm saved because the Spirit has revealed these things in the New Testament. And I have complied with these things. And John said, "My brethren, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life." I know what the Word says, and I have done it. And therefore, I can say that the Spirit Himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Romans 8 and verse 16. Maybe you're here tonight, and you are interested in being a child of God. Can your spirit speak in agreement with the Spirit, the Word of the Spirit? Can you say within yourself, "I have complied with these terms, and therefore I know I have salvation"? Not because of a feeling within you, but because you have read what the Word says, and you can say, "Absolutely, I have done these things." If not tonight, don't leave in that condition. Leave here tonight knowing that you have obeyed the gospel, heard it, believed it, repented of your sins, confessed your faith in Christ, and been immersed in water to contact the blood of Christ and to be added to the church. Leave here tonight knowing that you can say, "I have done what is written, and therefore I know that I have eternal life." Tonight, maybe you're ready to do that. Maybe you're here, you've studied, you've prepared yourself, and you want to become a New Testament Christian this evening. We would be pleased to help you. Maybe you're here tonight as a person who is visiting, and you say, "This is very strange to me. I've got a feeling in my heart that I'm saved, but what you're saying is very strange to me." Please let us talk to you about that tonight. We would be delighted to study with you.